Go to graduationplaylist.com. It's a new iHeartRadio feature where you can type in the year you graduated.
Oh, shut up. This was the year you... really?
This is the year I graduated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the song.
I don't know if it counts. You were homeschooled.
You know what? I went part-time to Buffalo. Get ready. You ready?
Are you ready?
I came in like
I'm always ready for that. It's great. I love this song.
Yeah, I don't mind the song.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Miley Cyrus is so bizarre because she just, for whatever reason.
Yeah, I know.
She's got this ability. Okay, I know this is going to, the only way I can describe it, and I don't, she's like a cockroach. She just doesn't die.
Her popularity just doesn't die.
Oh, that's it. She's done.
Like, she's too weird now.
Yeah. And then she's back.
Yeah.
And then she's like, oh, that's it. She's done. No, she's back again. So yep. she keeps her relevancy, and I don't.
Yeah.
She's talented.
Yeah, she is talented.
She's actually extremely talented.
I watched.
Well, she comes from good genes.
Yeah, it's true.
And that Billy Ray Cyrus.
Achy breaky jeans.
That's right. Good, tight jeans.
Is she related to Dolly the worst Parton, song. Too, or is she just her godmother?
I don't think they're related. No.
People
are too hard on Achy Breaky Heart. I'm not saying it's a good song. People talk about it like it's the worst thing ever, and it's like, nah, man, it's fine.
It just got overplayed.
Yeah, it got way overplayed, admittedly.
You just heard it everywhere for a long time, but it was a song of that moment, of that time. I mean, it really was. I want to say 95, 96?
Yeah.
In that area? I mean, You couldn't go anywhere without hearing that song.
Well, I lived in Kentucky. Trust me, you really couldn't go anywhere. He was the house band at the bar across the river that my dad used to go hang out in.
Oh wow!
My dad was not a big Billy Ray fan.
you
see too much Billy Ray.
You do have to give a certain amount of credit when a song is that popular for as horrible as the song might be. Now, granted, that song isn't.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at a song like Macarena, for crying out loud.
Yo, and, who let the dogs out?
Right. Which, by the way, that one still, I'm just going to wipe out on it for a minute. Who let the dogs out, to me, it still makes me laugh that anybody still plays that because of what that song really means. The song is about unattractive females.
Really?
What?
Yes.
I'd never heard that before.
The whole song, they're at a club. Who let the dogs out?
Oh, I thought like they were all excitable, like we're the dogs and we're
no. I'd always heard that this was a negative of the guys basically saying we went to the club to find hot women and we're not finding that.
You're saying the Baja men are body shaming?
That's what I'm saying. Drew's looking it up.
I mean,
I'm checking this out.
As much sense. I always just thought it was some nonsensical stuff, you know, just some.
No, I had thought, I could be wrong. Maybe it could have been a stand-up routine that I heard from somebody, but I thought I had heard that the song was actually in reference to the fact that they were referring to ladies as dogs because they were unattractive, in which case I expected not to see it on Spotify.
Well, there are those songs, you know, where you're like turning Japanese or whatever, where you find out what they're about and you're like, well, I've been singing that and I feel bad.
So funny. I just had a conversation with my wife about that the other day because she was playing that, right? And they go, you know what that song's about, right? She goes, no. I go, oh, really? And I told her, and I don't think she's going to listen to it anymore.
No.
Yeah. Especially when you get into, that song's horrible on
it goes beyond cultural appropriation, let's say.
Right. Yeah, and if you don't know what turning Japanese means, you go Google that.
It's not about dual citizenship.
No. It's offensive, and it's kind of offensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Catchy tune, though.
I was never a fan of that song.
It's mildly catchy. It's got a little, you know.
It's funny. My affinity for 80s music is very, very selective. Like, there's some 80s music that I love, but a lot of it I just cannot.
I'm with
just
you.
Just cannot stand.
I was at the David Byrne show last night. You don't got to tell me about intermittently great 80s music.
While Drew continues to look for the meaning behind Who Let the Dogs Out, the other one that people don't know about is Bow Wow Wow and I Want Candy. Did you know the backstory on that one?
I do not.
Again, you need to Google that.
All right.
And you don't have to. I'll tell you during the break.
Ah, nice.
But for the sake of FCC regulations, I will refrain from saying what candy actually represents.
Sure, okay. Sure.
I found this article here, and I don't know how much weight to give this, but according to in reference to Who Let the Dogs Out, somebody named Anselm Douglas, who originally wrote the song. And it was called Doggy when he did it, and it was then covered. The Baja Men tweaked the song and gave it sort of that Caribbean edge. Douglas says, it's a man-bashing song. The lyric of the song says, the party was nice, the party was pumping. When I said the word party, I was being metaphorical. It really means things were going great until the men started the name-calling, and then the girls respond to the call. So the men started calling the women names.
What? And
then the woman would shout, "Who let the dogs out?" They were the original writing of the song by the original
artist.
Went
the other way.
The dogs were the men who came and ruined the party.
I can't believe there was that much thought that went into writing that song even.
It was like a
I would have thought somebody's like, I had some magnetic poetry and I tripped and fell on my kitchen floor and there it was.
All right, I'll leave you with this. We'll go back to Bow Wow Wow for just a minute. I'll leave you with this. So let's see if you can figure it out, and for the audience as well that doesn't know, for you listening. So the lyric, for the telltale lyric is, candy on the beach, there's nothing better, but I like candy when it's wrapped in a sweater. So there you go. Right, that's right. Yeah. All right, let's go here. Out of Care 11, Memorial Day just around the corner. Summer travel season begins. Gas Buddy, right? Has done a Gas Buddy. It's an app, okay, smartphone app, connecting drivers to their perfect pit stop. They've compiled a list of the best bathrooms in the nation. You know what's really funny about this is that we've done a lot of road trips, and usually your government funded rest stops, there's kind of it's kind of a uniform sort of cleanliness about them. Mm-hmm. I've never been in one that's been like, that's a great rest stop bathroom, and I've never been in a government funded one that I've gone, that's a horrible one.
Yeah, they usually have one guy working there, and he kind of keeps things
kind of on the level. You know, there's good reading material etched on the walls and the stalls.
They all have the sign saying, if this restroom is not up to your standards, please no contact. Has anybody ever done that?
Right.
Has anybody ever done that?
I would. I just haven't had the opportunity to yet. But I would be.
What do you mean you haven't had the opportunity? You've never walked in a restroom that met your standards?
I've never walked in a bathroom that didn't meet my standards yet.
Wow. What does that say about you?
I don't know. My standards
low.
Are
low. Whoa, yeah, man.
My standards are low.
You spend a lot of time in a barn,
yeah,
so.
That's true.
You are not the go-to person for cleaning.
She doesn't even wear her socks to the bathroom, you know?
You know what? Women's bathrooms aren't full of puddles of pee, okay?
Well,
try to be clean.
I'm just saying, I've seen you pad barefoot
by
the
way,
restroom.
Side note, great 90s band. Puddles of pee.
Yeah.
Is that actually a band name?
No, it's Puddle of Mud.
Two D's. My wife thought it was an Onion parody of a band. She didn't realize. She was like, no, there's actually a band called Puddle of Mud.
Yeah,
like, sadly, it's not an Onion article.
Am I the only one that when you either the Porta Johns, okay, mm-hmm. or in your Target or your Walmart bathroom, am I the only one that looks at the last time this bathroom was cleaned?
No, you are
okay.
Not the only one.
All right, yeah.
A much funnier sign of the bathroom would be, it's been blank day since the accident.
Ooh. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, I always remember, and we'll get to the list here, I do remember, the horrible bathrooms.
Sure.
And it seems like every horrible, gas station, rest stop bathroom that I've ever been in happened at a time where I had no choice but to have to use that restroom.
The train spotting phenomenon.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly it. Yeah. And I don't remember any of the good ones. I do remember all the bad ones, though.
Yeah, it's like a hockey goalie. They only remember the mistakes you make. They don't remember all the saves.
Quick Trip flushed the competition in Minnesota and Wisconsin, according to the article from Care 11.
Well, good for them.
Wawa was second, leading in 6 East Coast states.
Okay.
Then came, I'm not familiar with Wawa.
No, I've never heard of Wawa.
Wawa's regional. It's kind of a Midwest, not Midwestern. It's I know they've got them in Pennsylvania. Mm. I want to say Ohio. I've never lived anywhere with a Wawa, but
the Middle East, as I like to think.
Yeah, it's a Middle Eastern chain.
Chevron, Cumberland Farms, Come and Go.
Yeah.
And Maverick, each top of the list in 3 states. Texas-based Buc-ee's had the best rated gas station restrooms in the country.
Seriously, though, I mean, what kind of metrics are you using here? There's one, it just needs to be clean. That's all.
Yeah.
Just clean.
Yeah.
There's clean and there's not clean. There's not like a 1 to 10 scale here. There's clean or not clean.
It's like the sandwiches are great in that bathroom, but the sandwiches in the other bathroom. Yeah.
Clean and flushed. And I know that's not necessarily on the person that actually runs the restroom, but that's sort of my clean and flushed. I'm good.
You know what's interesting? You go to sometimes, especially in a city, not too much in Minneapolis, thank goodness. They have those bathroom attendants. You know, you get the guy standing there.
Right.
Of all the places that really need them, I would argue like a rest stop or a gas station. That's where you need the bathroom attendant to kind of.
Yeah, not in the nice restaurants.
Yeah, nobody's taken care of.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody's going into a nice restaurant and befouling the bathroom.
Yeah, you know, I'd pay an extra 5 cents in gas if they had a bathroom attendant in the gas station bathroom.
I'm kind of with you on that. I think that's a brilliant idea. Let's start up our own little gas station chain.
I was at a fancy place in Chicago. We should do that.
Like a high-end convenience store.
Yeah, boutique gas. Yeah,
white tablecloth convenience store.
I was at in Chicago in this club. It was pretty nice, and they had a bathroom attendant. I was working there all week, so I... When you work in a place with a bathroom attendant,
you kind of get to know them.
Well, you do. And you also, at some point, you're like, dude, I've given you $17 in the last 2 days. Can I stop paying you every time I pee? And I walked in, and between shows, and I saw his feet under the stall. He was using the bathroom. And so I thought, this is my moment. So I stood by the sink, and when he came out of the stall, I held my hand out. He did not take it well. I'm like, well, how do you like it?
Yeah, it's pretty awkward, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dude? Yeah.
According,
are you allowed to do that while you're on duty?
I felt pretty bold.
According to a Gas Buddies 2018 summer travel survey, 37% of respondents said one of their worst fears when road tripping was the uncertainty of where to stop for a clean restroom. That would not be, no.
No.
I would not be part of that 37%. That would not even be near the top of my list of traveling.
The answer is Starbucks.
Yeah.
I thought everybody knew that the answer was Starbucks.
Yeah.
And even with fast food restaurants, you know, you go like, okay, McDonald's, Hardee's, Burger King. You go, okay, I'll go to McDonald's. If that's in disarray, I'll train my luck at the Burger King. Hardee's always a bad choice. Taco Bell, the worst.
We just got a tweet from Eric in Chicago going back to our music discussion. Apparently, the turning Japanese is not about what we think it's about. That's an urban myth. I'm going to have to do some looking into
that. I don't know. I've listened to those lyrics pretty closely.
Right.
They
seem
pretty
straightforward. I'm surprised that song still gets played, to be honest with you. With the cultural standards that we had today and the opening riff of that tune, I'm very surprised that song still gets any airplay.
Honestly.
I heard on the radio not so awful long ago. So it kind of put it in my mind.
And yeah, I guess that's a good point. Yeah.
Cherokee Pride or whatever, you know.
Yeah, the Cher song.
Yeah, that one's with the dun dun dun. They kind of, you know, you're like, I don't know. Yeah. They probably shouldn't do that. Like, oh, I feel bad now. Just play Bang Bang, You Shot Me Down.
The song makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah. Indian Outlaw samples that, by the way, from Tim McGraw.
All right, let's go. Let's go here. Star Tribune.
Info for your day.
The Supreme Court's ruling allows the states to pass their own laws to legalize and regulate sports gambling. Now, compulsive gambling addiction, according to the article, is one of the fastest rising addictions in the United States. This is according to the Lutheran Social Services of Wisconsin and Upper Michigan website.
Okay, that doesn't sound terribly scientific.
No, it doesn't. That sounds very singular.
I've got a little skepticism going on here.
I've got one. I get one or two calls a week from a family member or a friend about somebody who's gambling. This is according to Sonia Roper, program supervisor for the Farman Center in Wisconsin.
Sounds anecdotal.
Yeah, it does.
It sounds rather anecdotal.
They offer inpatient gambling treatment. And outpatient services are already locally available. Signs of possible addiction, Roper said, include spending an inordinate amount of time at casinos, as well as scratch-off lottery tickets strewn around the home. Often, she says, the addiction won't be recognized until it's too late. The result can be a significant financial and or legal troubles.
Look, gambling, I'm not going to sit here and try to say gambling addiction isn't real. It is a very real thing. It's a thing that a lot of people deal with. And it's that compulsive behavior, the rush that you get, you know, the adrenaline rush that you get when you win. Here's the thing. Legalizing, making it illegal for states to have sports gambling isn't going to increase or decrease the levels of addiction, because everybody who wants to gamble is currently gambling.
Yeah, that's why this law, I don't really like gambling myself, especially, I'm just not a fan. I get poker and stuff like that.
Sure.
But like sports betting, I think it's bad for people. I think people probably shouldn't do it, personally, but they already do it. It's not my place to tell them what you should do, and it's definitely already happening. Our asynchronous gambling laws are actually somehow stupider than our pot laws.
Yeah.
Which is like, well, the state can totally screw you on a dumb lottery that you're never going to win, but God forbid you put $10 on the Vikings.
And that's where I get really, really annoyed, is so many people are perfectly fine and accepting of state-run lotteries, which are... I mean, if you're going to gamble, that's like the worst.
Yeah.
In terms of odds of actually winning. It's the worst gambling you can possibly do.
That's the worst one. And the slot machines are next. Those are pretty dumb. But the lottery is dumber than slot machines somehow.
Yeah, no. But if you are okay with states running a lottery, yet you don't think that, you know, your local horse racing facility or anything like that should be able to open up a sports book, you're a hypocrite. More on this, plus your call, 651-989-5855.
First off, though, we do have prizes to give away with the parody song contest this week.
Tickets to see the Eagles and Jimmy Buffett coming to Target Field. We will give you a preview of the parody song contest now, and we will start taking your calls after 8:35.
You can bet if you want to. The Supreme Court says it's fine. So if it's bets that you make or bets that you take, you can now do it all the time. One way to defraud the government is to rip off the daycare establishment. It looks like we've got a brand new embassy. And Palestinians are in all that please. 138 million for education means tax reform has been vetoed.
Who cares? So there's a wedding going on over there, but who cares?
Your 2000 in honor of our friend Brian Miller.
That worked out convenient, didn't it?
It did.
Go to graduationplaylist.com or just pull up your iHeartRadio app, and there's a whole new thing in there under the playlist section where you can listen to a playlist from the year you graduated high school. It's a really fun little feature.
We were talking about sports betting. There's a couple of different articles here. One from the Star Tribune: states will now have to take responsibility for ensuring integrity and providing necessary resources for addiction.
That's part of the reason why it's a good idea for states to allow it. Because right now, as I said in the last segment, everybody who wants to gamble is gambling. I like to bet on sports every once in a while. Maybe like 3 or 4 times a year, there'll be a sporting event that I'll throw a little money on just for fun. But since it's not legal here, I have to do that on some disreputable websites, and I'm never...
Ooh, the dark web.
I'm never, you can never do that with a ton of confidence that you're actually going to get the money if you win, right? And that's the problem. It's like, I like to do it. A lot of people who like to do it, a lot of people who already are doing. Illegal sports gambling is like a $2 billion a year industry, okay? So your laws and your prohibitions are not doing a damn thing to keep people from engaging in this type of behavior. So what's the most rational reaction to that? You know people are doing it. You know money's being spent on it. Make it legal. Allow them to do it in an environment where it's, you know, it's a little, there's a little more protections. There's a little more regulations. And you throw in, you know, you use that money to, at least a portion of that money that you raise via revenue. You use a portion of that to give people some treatment options who may be compulsive gamblers.
Yeah, we're happy to use electronic pull tabs to pay for our stadium. What's the difference in that? You know, the weird interwoven hypocrisy is so deep, and it's so nonsensical. Like you said, it's
no damn sense.
If your argument is there's too many compulsive gamblers, well, this would probably be the way to address it rather than the other way around.
Yeah, if the Star Tribune's going to write an article about, oh gosh, you know, there's so many compulsive gambling, and you know it's probably going to increase addiction, then where's your editorial calling for an abolishment of the lottery?
Yeah,
where's your editorial calling for an abolishment on scratchers or pull tabs? There ain't no damn bit of difference between pull tabs and scratchers and going to a sports book and betting on the Vikings.
I've never done any sports gambling. My gambling history was short lived but memorable. Yeah, I went to one of my first trips to Vegas. Okay, because I lived about three hours away. I think it probably was my first trip to Vegas as an adult where I can go and gamble. Within 45 minutes of playing quarter slots, I made enough money to cover rent.
That's the worst.
I literally walked into the casino. I wasn't even playing max bet. I had a buddy of mine who would get on my case just nonstop, being like, "Why are you not playing max bet when you do the slots?" Because I always like to do the slots.
I've heard a lot of gambling stories, and I will tell you, every story that starts off like that does not have a happy ending.
No, no, no. No. It's like, where do you think, like, oh, this is easy money?
Exactly. So I won all this money out of the gate, and I thought I was Mr. Smarty Man, right? I'm like, oh, you know what? Done. Like, yeah. We were only there for an overnight trip. I'm like, I want all this money. I'll have a little fun. I probably spent like another $20, and that was it. The next time I went, and I think it was the next two times I went, I subsequently thought that that was going to happen every time that I went. Yeah, that didn't happen. One particular trip I remember very distinctly, because on the first trip when I won all the rent money, that trip I blew all my rent money. I was sneaking away from my buddies to pull more 20s out of the machine so they wouldn't see me. Because I'd get up, I'd get a little farther, and then I'd lose it all. And then I go back and I'd pull more. And it was after that one weekend where I don't know how much money I ended up blowing. I was like, that's it, man. I'm done. And so when I go to Vegas, I'll do slots. I'll usually be like, you know, I'll say, you know, $50. I'll count it as entertainment.
Yep.
You know, and if I blow it, I blow it. And if I make money, I make money. And then once I'm done with it, peace out. I'm done.
That's healthy attitude. Yeah. And poker is a great example of like, hey, me and my buddies are going to get together. We're all throwing in $50. If I walk away with some money, great. If not, well.
Yeah, and I was an idiot, too, because I was with that same guy who always told me if you're going to play slots, you always need to play max bet. If you don't, you're just wasting your money, right? And I remember
you're wasting your money anyway.
Well, this is the thing. We drove past. We need to go there. We need to go to this place. He goes, why do you want to go to this place? He was always just messing with me. He's like, why do you want to go there? Because it says 99% payback. And he looks at me and he goes, you know you're still losing 1%, right? Okay. Yeah, I guess I am.
Here's the difference between poker and sports betting and those other types of betting, at least in my mind, is there is some mindfulness involved in that type of gambling, right? If you take the time to be well informed, if you take the time to study and learn about the game that you're playing, yes, there's always going to be an element of luck and risk and elements that you cannot control, but at least it's mindful. Like, I know my odds of sitting down and winning money at a poker game are several times better than my odds of sitting down and winning at a slot machine. Or at a, you know, at a roulette table, or, you know, at a craps table, or all these other things where you have far less control over the outcome and far less control over the amount of risk that you're putting in. Like with poker, I have 100% control of my risk, right? I know exactly how much I'm wagering. I know exactly how much I'm putting at risk. And depending on the people that I'm sitting at the table with, you know, my odds will increase or decrease based on those skill levels of the people that I'm playing with. But I know myself and I can control my aspects of that game, you know, but there's still always going to be, you know, if there's an element of luck to it, then it technically still is gambling. And I'm fine with that, but it's, I look at it as entertainment. Yeah. And to me, it's far more entertaining than sliding a $20 bill into a slot machine, pressing a button and crossing your fingers, or giving, you know, $10 to the convenience store clerk to get some scratchers, you know, to spend 20 seconds in my car going, I hope I win. I hope I win. Oh, no, didn't win.
The silver dust of shame all over your seat. That's what I think of that as. That's like anti-pixie dust. You sprinkle that on poor people and make them poorer.
Yeah.
See, I love the slot machines. I love that. that whole noise and all of that,
don't get me wrong, they are entertaining.
I mean, they're designed
getting it to match up and all that.
All of Pavlov's principles are at play with those. They're literally like, oh, pull the lever and a good feeling happens and the noises are good.
You know? Right. The closest I've ever gotten to gambling is buying some pull tabs, and I think I've bought pull tabs like twice, and Drew was with me one of the times that I did it, and I have it's never gone well for me, but I know that I'm probably someone that if I go to a casino and I actually like do a slot machine, I'm going to be someone who like loses everything.
Yeah, man. The science.
You do not have the best impulse control.
I really don't.
I bet all the ponies. I didn't bet on the ponies. I bet the ponies.
I lost all my ponies. Like every time Drew's like, hey, I'm going to go play poker, I'm like, don't lose your house. Because I just assume that's what
I haven't yet.
Well, and the science behind the Vegas casinos is fascinating. The way that they pump all those sounds from the casino and they, I mean,
the smells.
The smells that they do and all that. It really, that aspect of it.
Oxygen in.
Yeah.
Get you a little high.
Free alcohol alone. I mean, that part of it. Remember when I first
Wait, there's free alcohol at casinos?
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're gambling.
Are casinos open right now?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's another like a noon casino. The saddest thing, because I work a lot of casinos, and the worst part is like you do the show, you get up the next day, it's like 10:30 in the morning, you got your bags, I'm heading to my car, walking through and looking at all the 10:30 a.m. people pulling those slots. It's like, man, what a desperate looking situation that
You've
is.
You've been there all night, haven't you?
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing, you know, Friday night before the show, you're like, hey, it's 8:00. Mm-hmm. We're at a casino. I get it. But oof. Sunday morning at 10:30 crowd. Yikes. I rarely say this, but go to church.
I love the people. Yeah, right. I love the people who think they've got a system for the slots.
Yeah.
Like they think they've got a, I know what time to go. I know which slots to look for.
I'm one of those.
You're so wrong.
That would definitely be me. That's why I can't do slots.
No, I'm one of those ones where I'll go up and I have like this little mental game that I'll play where I'll play so much, and if it doesn't hit, I'll go to another one. Yeah. And you know, if I watch somebody else play and if they haven't made any money off it, ooh, there's got to be one coming up then, and I'll walk in. It's all just
Drew,
a bunch of
ooh. Are you slot shaming?
I might be a little slot shaming.
Yeah,
the biggest win I've ever experienced on slots. I've won a couple times.
That's reason enough to keep going.
But I was with my wife, and we were at Mystic for a concert. And after the concert, I was like, let's hit a few slots. She hates gambling. It's like in all forms, it's totally not her thing. I had to like talk her into it. I was like, you get to pick the slot machine. All right, you know, you pick one. We'll put $20 in. And we'll see what happens. And she goes, all right, I'm going to find the most culturally insensitive slot machine
I like
can
this.
Possibly find. And I sure like enough, that. Second time we hit the button, we won like $300.
Do you remember what was the slot machine?
No, I don't remember what it was called.
It was like Dukes of Hazzard,
but it was
maybe,
like a dude in a sombrero.
Yeah.
The universe wants you to be a racist, Drew.
Me? I'm not the one that picked it.
This article from Reason.com, it says sports betting will complete the gambling revolution. Judging the outcome of this week's SCOTUS opinion allowing states to legalize sports gambling. And you get further into the article, and they talk about the guilt that's been involved with this in a number of different areas, and they give a bunch of different examples. They say the joke in Utah is Catholics don't recognize birth control, Jews don't recognize Jesus, and Mormons don't recognize each other in Nevada.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
Evangelical Christians view gambling as an affront to both an affront to the 10th commandment. You shall not covet your neighbor's, your wife, nor your manservant, nor his maidservant, nor cattle, nor anything that is his. But one of the nation's largest gambling meccas is Biloxi, Mississippi, deep in the Bible Belt. Years ago,
when they try to do that. It's like, oh, you Christians are so against gambling. Well, why has Biloxi got casinos? Like, the Christians are just in charge of everything. They all the decisions. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, the Mississippi Republican Party chairman, Clark Reed, explained, the attitude is it's really bad, but I'm really enjoying it. So they say the enjoyment endures, and the guilt has been too mild to reverse the growing popularity of various types of wagering. With the Supreme Court decision striking down the federal law that prohibited states from acting to legalize sports betting, the gambling revolution looks close to completion. The change may not even be apparent to younger Americans who grew up in a country where casinos, lotteries, and racetracks are about as unusual as a Walmart supercenter. These people may not realize that until 1978, anyone with an urge to patronize a casino had to go to Nevada. In the 1960s, only New Hampshire and New York had state lotteries. Today, there are casinos, commercial, tribal, or both, in 40 states. Lotteries are offered in 44 states and D.C. We've gone from a strong presumption against legal gambling to a strong presumption in favor of it. The Supreme Court decision opens the way for states to allow something that has been popular in many places, but legal only in Nevada, wagering on actual athletic contests. You know, it's interesting, too, when you look at the Vegas aspect of it. I didn't realize it was only until 1978 that was the case. Bugsy, by the way, is one of my... love. That movie is fantastic.
Good movie.
Such a great movie. It's fascinating, though, because I don't see this having any... Like, Vegas has done such a good job of turning it into an adult... turning itself into an adult Disneyland that I can't imagine... I mean, certainly it hasn't with the proliferation of tribal casinos and whatnot. I don't see this having an adverse effect on Vegas anyways because it's gone so far beyond... the gambling aspect of the way that it started.
If Vegas took a hit, it would have been on like DraftKings and that are the already existent fantasy sports betting. The up to the minute stuff.
Yeah, Vegas is a lot of fun. I like Vegas if you do it right. I've done too many times what I've done Vegas wrong, especially the trip where we went to the beers around the world and decided to get a beer from everywhere around the world. That was one trip that
it's
I did.
A big world out there.
I did it. Yeah, yeah.
The world's so much bigger than I thought.
Yeah, that bathroom was so much smaller than I thought.
651-989-5855 is the phone number. We want to get your thoughts. If you want to comment on, do you think Minnesota should allow sports betting now that the Supreme Court has given sort of the green light to states to go ahead and legalize it and regulate it and such? Do you think Minnesota should get on board? There's certainly going to be a push over the next couple of years, and if it does happen, it's probably going to take a couple of years for it to go into effect. But we'd like to hear what you think. But first, it is that time of the week for the parody song contest. 5 parody song snippets, all referencing stories, topics, interviews we've done over the course of the week. The first caller at 651-989-5855 that can correctly identify what's being referenced is going to win a pair of tickets to go see the Eagles and Jimmy Buffett at Target Field.
You can bet if you want to. The Supreme Court says it's fine. So if it's bets that you make or bets that you take, you can now do it all the time.
One way to defraud the government is to rip off the daycare establishment. It looks like we've got a brand new embassy.
And Palestinians aren't all that pleased.
138 million for education means tax reform has been vetoed.
Who cares, who cares, who cares, who cares, who cares? So there's a wedding going on over there, but who cares?
Justice.
Oh, yeah. 1990. Snap. With an exclamation.
This is one of my least favorite songs of all time.
Yeah.
What?
You know what? It's one of those moments, man, where, again, once again, brother from another mother.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you.
I don't know what it is, but this song I hated so much. CNC Music Factory, I also kind of
hated CNC Music Factory.
I used to think this was CNC Music Factory.
There's very good reason to think that.
Same brand to suck.
Now, all that being said, one of the songs that I had on my list today for the graduation playlist. One of the songs that I had that Sam didn't get to play. I did have Jane Child, "Don't Want to Fall in Love," on my playlist. I dig that song.
Yeah,
and I dug her. She had a nose ring and dreads. She was amazing.
So avant garde for 1990.
I went to a MTV Video Music Awards as a matter of fact, I think it was 1990. Yeah, it was. I went to a 1990 MTV Music Video Awards. So I have a photo album at home where I've got pictures. MC Hammer. I've got Winter. The Bill and Ted's.
Edgar Johnny.
Yeah. So not Keanu Reeves.
Oh, Alex Winter.
Alex Winter. And Jane Child. I got pictures of and Duran Duran. Yeah, yeah, from the MTV Music Video Awards.
You strike me as a guy, who, and like myself, who was easily charmed by Riot Girls.
Yes.
Yeah. I still could be.
Yeah, that's, yeah, again, brother from another mother.
It is that time of day when we give away a pair of tickets to see the Eagles and Jimmy Buffett for the parody song contest. We have a full bank of calls. You want to play it one? Should we play one more time before we start getting
into
the calls?
It's a good roundup. It's a good list this week.
All right, we will play it one more time, and then we will start taking your guesses at the parody song contest this week.
You can bet if you want to. The Supreme Court says it's fine. So if it's bets that you make or bets that you take, you can now do it all the time.
One way to defraud the government is to rip off the daycare establishment. It looks like we've got a brand new embassy.
And Palestinians aren't all that pleased.
138 million for education means tax reform has been vetoed.
Who cares, who cares, who cares, who cares, who cares? So there's a wedding going on over there, but who cares?
651-989-5855 is the phone number. Mike in Minnetonka, you are first up, Mike. Go ahead.
All right. We've got sports betting approved by the Supreme Court, Somali daycare scamming money and sending it by the millions over to the Middle East, new embassy in Jerusalem opened up, Dayton vetoed a tax reform bill because he didn't get his $138 million for education, and the royal wedding's going on and nobody cares.
Well done, Mike in Minnetonka. I'm going to put you on hold, and Sam will get all of your relevant information. You just won yourself a pair of tickets to go see the Eagles and Jimmy Buffett. It was far too easy this week.
Yeah,
far too easy this week. I will take the I'll take the heat on that one.
I like the lyrics of the first one. The first one, the sports betting.
Yeah, it worked out well. It fit well.
Yeah,
the Pink Floyd one. That song, the original version, fell into at a young age into my that's creepy music. I didn't understand. I was very confused by, I don't know what this means.
I want to say
it's all very creepy.
I want to say it was in like sixth or seventh grade when I don't know when that album came out specifically, but that was when I discovered that album.
Yeah.
And yeah, I thought I'd opened the door into a very dark world. It's like, ooh, there's so much going on.
Yeah, The Doors for me was a little like that when you first hear like Riders on the Storm. Yeah. And you're like, oh man, smoking cigarettes, listen to this. I'm pretty intense.
Did any of you guys have so brooding?
Yeah.
Did you have any affinity at all for The Wall? Did you guys like The Wall at all?
The movie.
Yeah, the movie.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah.
It's okay. It's okay.
It's kind of, when I saw it as a kid, because I grew up on Monty Python.
I love the album.
It was like, to me, it was just like, it was like dark and depressing Monty Python.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, it's like, there's no funny in this, and they got all the same like animation and weirdness and stuff, but it's not funny at all.
Yeah, no, the movie never really struck much of a chord with me. It's an interesting movie to watch. But that's about as far as I'll go with it. It's not something that I ever find myself going and wanting to rewatch or anything, but I do love the album.
Very much a background thing. Like my friends and I would have it like on in the background while we, perhaps indulged in other things.
I have synced up Wizard of Oz and Dark Side of the Moon.
I've done that too.
Yeah, anybody who says that's not real is out of their mind.
Yeah. It is pretty incredible.
The concert film to watch, Talking Heads Stop Making Sense. I've sat down and watched that 30 times in my life through it.
Talking Heads are so underrated.
Oh,
so underrated.
The David Byrne show last night was transcendent.
Yeah, it was trending number one this morning when I got in today on Twitter. People were talking a lot about that show.
11-piece band, 6 of them were drummers and with a bassist. So like they made a lot of the music was all like reimagined as like percussive.
Mm.
It was so good.
That's cool.
It was so good. There's another one tonight at the State Theater or Orpheum or whatever. If you can get tickets, you should go.
David Byrne he doesn't get enough credit.
He's a genius.
He's very, very creative, very talented.
I've never liked the Talking Heads, but I respect. Really? Yeah, but I respect him. And that band for what they did, I was just never a fan of the
They were all
music.
Invited to my wedding, and Chris France and Tina Weymouth responded and sent us a really nice card.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's cool.
We invited all the Talking Heads to the wedding.
Have you guys,
we love the Talking Heads.
That's really interesting.
The last hour and a half of my wedding, we just played Stop Making Sense from start to finish. My father-in-law did the David Byrne, the wavy arms dance and everything. Oh, yeah. People loved it. Everyone was like, this is the best wedding. What's this music?
I had no idea you were that into the Talking
Heads. Huge into Talking Heads.
Yeah. One more musical note, but also has movie relevancy to it. They dropped the, if you guys haven't seen it yet, they dropped the teaser trailer for Bohemian Rhapsody.
It looks good.
The Queen, yeah, it looks...
Did you see the controversy? The people are, they said they're bad because they didn't acknowledge that Freddie Mercury was gay. And I'm like...
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. People are like, they're angry. And I'm like, how do you not know that Freddie Mercury's gay? He's the gayest looking man in the world in a band named Queen.
Teaser trailer.
Yeah.
What do they expect? Oh, by the way, real quick, we're going to stop down this trailer just to remind everybody Freddie Mercury was gay.
Well, yeah. It's funny.
Like the most famous gay.
It's funny that you mentioned that because I was watching one of the movie talk shows, and there was a guy on there who he alluded to that. He wasn't complaining. He was like, "Well, I hope that they go and address, you know, him being gay and everything." And
of course they will.
The co-host kind of did that in a very sort of not that way. It was like, "Well, yeah, it was a 90-second teaser trailer and it showed him from different eras of Queen, and one of those eras was sort of the era where everybody was aware of that. So I can't imagine, because I guess Queen's whole, I'm not a fan of Queen, but the background on it was Queen was very specific that they wanted to make sure that this told the story of Freddie Mercury accurately and really, played proper tribute to him.
And because they pulled the plug on the Sacha Baron Cohen version.
Right.
He was supposed to play it, and he seems like a really obvious choice, although, man, you see Rami Malek, and you go, looks like Freddie Mercury.
I thought the controversy was going to be that he wasn't tall enough.
Yeah,
you know, right. They're going to have to do some clever editing, because he's not the tallest dude. I mean, because Freddie Mercury was really tall.
Yeah.
Right? He was really tall, right?
I don't know.
I remember him being super tall.
Well, he was definitely super gay, and everybody knows it, and I don't think you need to put it in the
trailer.
They're
not going to leave that out of the movie.
I will say, if you leave that movie not knowing that Freddie Mercury was gay, it will be, in fact, a terrible movie.
Yeah, no, I can't.
Or you fell asleep.
Yeah, for like all of the movie.
Right.
Well, considering that Bryan Singer was the one who was shooting it before he left that movie.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I can't imagine that part of his life wasn't covered.
I'm looking forward to that movie.
I'm not a Queen fan, but I'm looking forward to it.
I enjoyed the trailer quite a bit.
I don't know a ton about Freddie Mercury, so I'm looking forward to finding out more.
He was gay. I'll tell you that much.
He's also the focus of one of my favorite GIF or GIF files. It's the one with the when he's got the bananas on his head.
Yeah,
I love the Freddie Mercury banana one. That cracks me up.
So I got this story out of England. This is one of the more bizarre stories I've ever come across. There's this guy named Chris Owen, lives in Buckinghamshire, and he's got a little side gig going. All right, he makes about £1,000 a year. That's British for money.
What's the conversion? What's the conversion rate these days? It used to be like I thought it was like half.
Yeah,
that's probably like, I just like it was like $500 American.
That'd be like $1,400, I think.
I don't know. Every time I'm in a different country with a different currency, it's just fake money. To me.
It does feel, yeah.
It's enough to open up a fake daycare.
Okay.
I think that's the currency
rate. Is that like the trend now? Like daycares and money and bad things? And
That's how we use conversion rates now.
Apparently.
So this guy, Chris Owen in Buckinghamshire, makes about £1,000 a year by moaning when mayo is put on his food. Like he's developed this little cottage industry of going to restaurants and complaining. About, you know, nitpicking, complaining about every little thing to the point where he's able to track the discounts, refunds, and free products he gets. And he says that it totals about £1,000 a year worth of either refunds, discounts, or, you know, free coupons or gift cards, things like that, by complaining. He's dubbed Britain's biggest moaner by the Sun, but he prefers to be known as the best at not putting up with bad service.
Before I made the logic jump of moan for the Brits and moan for when I first read the story, I was like, so they put mayonnaise on it and he just goes
mayonnaise is ruining the
mayonnaise on my burger.
At first I felt like Liam Gallagher, now I feel like Noel Gallagher. By the way, I have a friend who does this sort of thing, and I always say the same thing to him. His name is John, different John. I always say, at what price dignity, John? At what price dignity? Like, yeah, you can totally chisel a dime or two here out of people if right. you're willing to be the world's biggest pain.
Well, here's the thing, though. I mean, you are paying this restaurant, you know, to give you food and to get your order right. And when they don't, when they mess it up, why should you have to put up with it?
Yeah.
Why should you have to put up with... I mean, I've gotten into this conversation before with another friend of mine talking about, the beer industry. You know, we've talked about it with the craft beer industry. And it's like, they'll go to a place and they'll order a beer and maybe it's not up to snuff or maybe it's not as good as they expect it to be. And, you know, he's one of those people that will say something. And I always feel awkward.
Yeah, me too.
Like, oh, gosh. You know, it's like, why am I worried about them being mad at me? I'm their customer. You know, I'm giving them money and, you know, in exchange for their product. And here I am, you know, nervous about complaining about bad service or a bad product. I'm kind of on this guy's side on this one. He says, the only thing that I'll take issue with this guy is he makes about 90 pounds a month moaning specifically about mayo related mess ups when he specifically asks for no mayo. And he says, the worst culprit is the burger. They always put mayonnaise on burgers, to which I would be like, stop ordering burgers.
Yeah.
Stop ordering things that they put mayo on if you know they're going to mess it up all the time.
I like mayo on my burger.
But it sounds like that's kind of his thing. He wants them to mess up.
Yeah, that is what it is.
Obviously, he's not going to stop ordering burgers.
Then he sends his food back, and sometimes the price is taken off the bill, or occasionally he's given a discount. He went on to say mayonnaise is a tyrant of a condiment and very arrogant.
I kind of agree with him, and I think they even do the mayo more over there.
Yeah, see, I like mayo.
Not Miracle Whip.
I like a skosh. Yeah, Miracle Whip's a travesty.
Yeah, that shouldn't be.
That's like the Al-Qaeda of mayo.
Yeah. Not the ISIS of mayo.
No, it's ISIS. Mayo is Al-Qaeda, yeah. And then it got more virulent somehow and more intensified,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Miracle Whip. And it's so presumptuous, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Miracle Whip. Yeah, that's not a miracle.
No, it's not. No, it's a travesty.
I can make something that tastes like crap.
Yeah.
It's not a miracle. It's not hard to do.
My wife, by the way, is the ultimate. She's taken the I don't want to send food back to the extreme. I've seen her order something, get a completely different meal, and she's like, I'll just eat this. Like, oh,
I'll always send it back.
You literally ordered a completely different thing. Yeah. Like, I don't think that's beyond the pale to ask for.
Yeah, it's a weird cultural thing, and it's I imagine it's very prominent in Britain. I imagine it's pretty prominent here, too, because there's that level of sort of like, no, everything's fine. Everything's okay.
I'm not a big cheese guy.
I'll just give you a smaller tip.
Yeah, I'm not a big cheese guy. I almost always order stuff without cheese. Eh, I just scrape the cheese off the chicken and the burger if I don't like it.
That's where we part.
Life will go on,
where we part. I'm a cheese guy.
I'm a cheese and mayonnaise guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Most food for me is just a vehicle.
Yeah, it is.
Cheese and mayonnaise.
Fair enough.
Yeah, no, that's
funny. Because it's not socially acceptable to just eat it.
Chicken fingers, it's just a mechanism to get the ranch.
It's just a vehicle.
I would just drink the ranch if it was socially acceptable.
Gross. Ranch is something I've never really liked the best.
Yeah, that's good.
And yet you live on a ranch.
Right?
The irony is rich.
As rich as ranch.
Hey, ranch, good job, guys. John, you made it.
You made it. I'm going to die now, but I made it.
Good week, everybody. Brian Miller. Anything you want to plug here? In the
Eric the Red. Every Tuesday, Eric the Red. Redmond is comedy.
Eric the Red, Redmond US Bank Stadium. Awesome place.
Yep. Free show, great food, free parking, 8:30, free comedy every Tuesday.
Good beer selection, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sam, anything you want to plug?
I like ponies.
All right. Have a good weekend, everybody.
I like turtles.
I'm Chris Addison. Here is